Welcome to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And the three of us are getting ready to spend the next hour talking here on the radio about one of my favorite three-letter words.
Eat.
Eat would be one of them, Ken.
There you go.
You know, there was a reason they called me Big Joe for years. Eat would be good. IRA. This is going to be your favorite topic. Ken hates it when we go into this, but... You know, Angie mans the phone, and you can call in and ask your questions, too. So, Ken, maybe you ought to have some people plant questions that you would want to hear.
I should, yes.
Because when they call in and ask Angie, it's, can I do this with my IRA? Can I do this with my 401k? Can I, right? All you have to do is have people call in and ask questions. We'll answer those, too.
Can you talk football questions, too?
I can, with you here, I can probably come up with a potential answer.
Excellent.
But
I like that.
We would have to go through some of the correlation causation issues, though, to get, you know, just be able to use big words and put math into it. But no, we've got a bunch of questions. And if you've got one that you'd like to hear us talk about, you can reach Angie at 800-928-4001, or you can email us, considerthis@yourlifeafterwork.com. And if you miss any part of the show, you can always go to our podcast where the show is re-aired, as well as other things that we put out. Consider This Program, wherever you listen to podcasts, is convenient. That's how many of my friends and family listen to the show, because you can actually even speed us up. One of my buddies says, you sound pretty funny at a point and a quarter. I go, what in the heck's a point and a quarter? You can speed up your podcast by 25%. And it's kind of like, and then apparently I talk like this.
Cartoon
and,
voice.
But they get the data, and that's what they want is the information. So it works out pretty well. We are going to talk about why IRAs are different. Can you remember any reason, Ken, why an IRA and a 401k are different?
Oh, yeah, but I don't remember.
Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Yes, you know that there are differences. Well, this is why I ask. I mean, and it's they're so confusing to people. I mean, it's why we have to do the show. Something that's only got three letters should not be this difficult, right? But it is because of the way our tax code works, and it's so important to people's lives. We looked at the Financial Enhancement Group's been around for 22 years, and we looked at the difference in the size of our accounts we opened up 22 years ago versus now, and it's tenfold. And the part of the reason it's tenfold is the market has gone up over 22 years, but people have been putting money away in IRAs and 401ks for an additional 22 years. And things are changing. This matters to people. I know at your young age, Ken, it doesn't matter as much. But we are going to talk about the difference between IRAs, plans, and things you may want to consider. Consider This Program. We'll take a break and be right back.
Hi, Joni Michaels here. We know you care about your money, but are you tired of worrying about it? The Financial Enhancement Group takes care of people just like you who don't want to worry about their money. As fiduciaries, the team at the Financial Enhancement Group will care for your nest egg just like they would care for their own if they were in your situation. There are many decisions you'll need to make as you face retirement, and the team at the Financial Enhancement Group is here to help you. Call 800-928-4001 or go to yourlifeafterwork.com to set up a time to meet. The confusion and complexity of retirement is almost as daunting as is the excitement of retirement. Don't let your fear and frustration of taxes and investing derail your retirement. Call the Financial Enhancement Group at 800-928-4001. They'll give you a complimentary second opinion on your strategy for retirement. Begin your adventure in your life after work. Call 800-928-4001 or yourlifeafterwork.com. Now back to Consider This Program with Joe Clark.
Welcome to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
Angie, the question lady, the person that you talk to when you call in to make an appointment at the Financial Enhancement Group, 800-928-4001. And in the meantime, Angie and I are going to figure out if we can solve the world's problems related to IRA. So what was the question?
Yes, we had a question, and it is, should I borrow from my 401k to pay off higher interest debt?
Should you borrow from a 401k to pay off highest interest debt? So how do you want to, because you know you can easily say yes or no, but there's a lot more to it. So
yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different risks in borrowing from your plan. So maybe we just talk about the pros and cons.
So let's look at debt real quick. Anytime you have a question about paying off debt, there's this fancy little word that we have to use called opportunity cost, right? And it's part of your risk. So what do I know that I can get for free that's guaranteed? And the answer to the guarantee that they taught us way back when in the 90s in CFP school was the 10-year U.S. Treasury as the safest money on the planet. Well, it's been downgraded, so now we'd have to be using something different. But it's something that you knew you could get. So let's say I know I can get 4% on an investment that's guaranteed. So if I buy a stock that I think can go up 10, I'm really only buying 6 extra points of return. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. You do the same thing with debt. If your credit card debt is 19% and you owe $10,000 on it, it's a guaranteed 19% if you pay the credit card off, right? So you have to ask yourself, looking at your 401k account today, assuming you can get the money out. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yes.
But you have to look at your 401k account and you go, okay, do I think I'm going to earn another 19% on my money this year? And the answer is probably no. In a given year, that's much more than what the market typically does. So then you get into the questions of should I, can I, and all those other things. With credit cards, the average person who maxes them out is said to max them out on average 7 times.
I believe it.
Right? So once you get into a bad habit, whether that's overeating or playing with your phone or whatever it is, once you get into a bad habit, it's harder to break than it is to create. Just the way mm-hmm. it is. Good habits are tough to acquire, and bad ones just come along so easy. So I would not tell you to pay your credit card off if you are still in that state of mind where, you know, the shiny object comes by and you're willing to whip out the plastic, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're just going to waste your 401k money and you're going to be in trouble. If, on the other hand, you're now in a state of where you are in your life where you're aggressively paying off debt, it would make sense to pull money out of your 401k via a loan to pay off that debt, to pay it back to yourself,
okay,
provided the plan allows.
Yes.
Right? So here's where you get into some of that nitty-gritty. And you've got a list. I saw you had some of the pros. Go ahead and hit them of borrowing money.
Well, you can have immediate access. You don't have to go through the loan process.
Don't have to wait for Ken to approve the mortgage.
Nope. Nope. Tax and penalty free if all of the rules are satisfied. Lower interest rates, no credit checks, interest paid to your own account, no penalty for accelerated payments, so you can pay ahead, and no personal liability.
I would argue that they're wrong on the last part.
Okay.
So one of the things that came out of the tax change in 2017, which was really helpful for people, you can't have a loan here because our plan document doesn't allow loans, right? We've talked about that before. So the Department of Labor says, here's what you can do. And then the plan that you craft allows different things to happen. For instance, you don't have to take a required minimum distribution if you're still working from a company and you're over 70 and a half. You do not have to take an RMD from a 401k, but the plan document has to allow for that. And a lot of plan documents don't. Ought to be one of the things that's putting in. But one of the things that Congress did is if you lost your job here, Angie, and you had a loan, you had a very little amount of time to pay it back or it became taxable.
Right.
Right. Plus the penalties. So I would say there is personal liability. If you don't count liability to the IRS, then you're in a better place
right.
than I
that's
am,
fair.
I guess. All right. So what are some of the negatives?
Some of the negatives are, two, you've already mentioned, the plan may not allow for it. And the other is the amount that you're borrowing wouldn't be generating gains if it were invested.
Right. That's where we started with that opportunity cost. So it's not like if you have a $100,000 401k, you could go borrow $100,000, by the way. And there's two different types of loans. There's a loan for a mortgage, and there's a loan for anything else, right? So if you're allowed to do loans, you can get a loan for a mortgage, but your payback period time, the amount of money you have to pay it back is a lot lower, right? But you can still only borrow up to 50% of the plan, of the value that's in it, right? And there's a cap that I think is $50,000 right now. So if you had $500,000 one, you can't borrow $250,000 out of it, right? They're there for more emergencies than they are anything else.
Now this one I was hoping you could explain. Repayments are taxed twice.
There are people who try to make the argument that you have to make you've already saved the money and put it into the 401k. Okay, where you have paid FICA and FUTA. You've paid Social Security tax on it, but you really haven't paid any taxes on the growth, right? So when you borrow the money out, you don't have to pay the taxes then, but when you go to put money back into the plan, you do have to pay taxes on the income that you're using to make the plan payment. I think it's a bogus argument. I mean, okay. When it works out at the end of the day, it does make sense, but please know what your plan document says, folks. Your largest asset is most likely your IRA or your 401k at work. They're much bigger than most people's houses are anymore. So take the time, know your plan, and make sure that you're in good shape there. All right. Anything else you want to say on that or any other questions on that one?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Then we'll move. We'll start into this IRA part is different. And a big part of it's estate planning, and we're going to have to crawl into we're probably going to have to crawl into two segments to be able to get through this, but we shall see. So, Ken,
yeah.
If your will says that your IRA goes to me, but your beneficiary agreement says that it goes to Angie, who gets your IRA?
Boy, that's a good question. I would think your beneficiary agreement.
Your beneficiary statement, correct answer, ding, ding, we need a bell. Your beneficiary statement trumps every single piece of legislation in this country, with the exception of a Department of Labor beneficiary plan. And this is something that people mess all the time. It's getting better, but people will come and they will say, my will says what happens to my IRA.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care what you've written in your will. You know, if your IRA says that it goes to your wife, it goes to your wife, okay? If my 401k, however, IRAs are different, right? And I want to make sure that you understand that. If my 401k says that Angie is the beneficiary, it still goes to Barb. Okay? A spouse is entitled to Department of Labor retirement plans, which goes back to what we were talking about, Angie, which is a little crazy. I don't have to have Barb's permission to borrow the money, right?
Right.
So if I took the money out and went over to Hoosier Park, right?
Yeah.
She has nothing she can say. But if I die, she gets it.
Right.
And this is one of the only times a postnuptial agreement can help. We had a situation that Angie and I were talking about, and this is really, really sad. But, you know, a guy and a woman were married, got divorced. He made her the beneficiary of his 401k plan. They never got remarried, even though they had rekindled and were living together. And the kids get it because then the state that they lived in, the beneficiary actually goes to the children. There's a default.
Really?
And it was very, very amazing. Sad story. Hey, we got to take a break. We'll come back to more on this. Consider this program. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Consider This Program. I'm Joe Clark, your host.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
All right. So we're having a lot of fun here breaking down the difference between IRAs and 401ks and what happened. And just so everybody's clear in this case that we talked about, and I can give you the private letter ruling if you want to, but it was actually it's just a sad situation. But a guy and his ex-wife had rekindled. This happens I've seen this many times. We have two families that have been married three times. Just stop and think about that. It's kind of, and there's a space with one with both of them where they were married to somebody else, and then they rekindled, and then they got a divorce, and then they got back, right?
Oh, my.
So
wow.
If that happens to be you listening, then you need to redo your beneficiary statement. You need to call the insurance company. I don't care if the beneficiary agreement says that Angie was my beneficiary, and I still want Angie to be my beneficiary. There's now 14 states in the union that have a rule that would give my kids, if Barb and I were not married, would give my kids the life insurance proceeds. So make sure that you check those beneficiary designations. And it's one of the things we do every time somebody comes in. Go ahead, Ange. I thought you had something. All right. So why is estate planning different for IRAs? First one we hit already, they pass by contract. So a beneficiary agreement is a contract. Second, IRAs have required minimum distributions, RMDs. And this is one that confuses a lot of people. If you are working in a company, so if you have a 401k and you're over 70 and a half and the plan allows for it, so there's ands, and the plan allows for it, and you own less than 5% of the company, then you do not have to take a required minimum distribution. However, if you have an IRA, you must take that required minimum distribution. And it's based on your joint life expectancy, Ken. So they would look at you and your lovely wife when they get there. And if you're down to one, you're going to use a single life table. If you're married, then you get to use the joint, which means you get to take out less money percentage-wise, mm-hmm. right? So keep that in mind. IRAs have their own set of complex distribution rules both during and after life. So in a 401k, and this, by the way, I'm reading this. I'm part of a group with Ed Slott. So if you ever want to know more about IRAs, you can go to irahelp.com or simply call us at 800-928-4001. But I've been working with Ed for, I think it's 12 years now. So 300 of us get together twice a year. We put together these checklists just to make life nice, sweet, and simple. So your IRA beneficiary questionnaire is like 21 pages long.
Wow.
People think it's simple, but it's really, really not. So if you have a 401k and you don't have a lot of earned income and you need to retire early, you can get money out of your 401k if you're 55 and over. If, on the other hand, you have an IRA, you have to wait till 59 and a half to not have that 10% federal penalty. So again, how could anybody be confused?
Right? Yeah.
IRA distributions can incur tax penalties, and penalties cannot be waived. So there are times, and I watched a planner in Indianapolis mess this up last year. Be careful who you're working with in the tax world. So a guy was essentially in what we would call the 22% tax return bracket right now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he and his wife were probably making about $118,000, $120,000 a year. So just barely in the 22% the 22% tax bracket. So when you're thinking about tax, what a CPA is going to tell you is your average rate, the average rate you pay on each dollar. It's what we call the effective rate. When you're doing financial planning, you have to think about the marginal rate. What's the top dollar of exposure? Well, in this guy's case, he was disabled for 3 months, never got any benefits for it. And so his income dropped down into the 12% bracket,
mm-hmm.
right? And the financial planner said, hey, you know, you can pay 12% tax on the IRA money instead of 22%. Let's pull it out and do, let's pull it out. So error number one, they shouldn't have pulled it out unless they needed the money. Error number two, if they were going to pull it out, this would have worked to do a Roth conversion, right, it was like $20,000, right? The reality is, though, they pulled out enough to put them back into the 22% bracket because somebody didn't do math right. Worse than that, there's a 10% federal penalty because he was under 59 and a half. And so what appeared to be a really good strategy on one end came with this, I think it was 30 grand they ended up pulling out.
Wow.
And he got a $3,000 tax penalty that he had to pay. The guy went ballistic, you know, but it's so easy to muck this stuff up, right? You know, very, very easy. So you got to pay attention to the dirty waters, the muck of the IRS code, and make sure you do it in the right ways. All right, IRAs are highly taxed upon death or withdrawal. They are always taxed as ordinary income. So anytime you pull money out, you're going to pay taxes at whatever that top marginal rate is. And that's, we talk about bracket bumping in here. And that is the example that I gave you of the planner in Indianapolis. Call it planner, call it the family, whichever one. It was painful for both. That concept of bracket bumping makes a lot of sense. So if you really do have income that's lower this year than what you're going to be next year, then you do want to go to that higher income bracket. Ken, no different than when you played in the NFL, people talked to you about taking some of the income from the higher earning years and hiding it and delaying it. We did a...
See, they never talked to us about deferred compensation.
They didn't. You had the wrong planners.
Well, I don't know if they even did that in the NFL. I know some players in the major league.
Like, yep.
Was it Bobby Bonilla did it?
Yep.
He gets $1.5 million every like July 1st for 20 more years or something crazy.
One of our favorite things that we use is charitable remainder trust.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is you get income out of that every year. And then whatever's left when you're gone goes to the charity. So the longer you live, the better it is. Most charitable remainder trusts are designed to begin distribution right at the beginning, but there's a thing called an NCRUT. that would allow quarterbacks and people who had really big contracts to go ahead and do all their charitable gifting up front, delay taking the income until later in life so that they would have the best of both worlds. But, you know, you got to have the right people. That's really disappointing that they didn't have anybody talking to you about that. But IRAs are, and, you know, when we sit here and we look at $11 million of, it's about $11.5 million that we can have without any estate tax, people aren't so concerned about their IRAs. So hear me on this, guys. Please. The 31 years I've been in the industry, we have monkeyed with the estate tax code, and it was $600,000 I could leave behind without having to pay estate tax. And then it went to $1 million, and then we went to $3 million, and then we added portability. And every year I hear CPAs and attorneys saying, well, they're going to claw it back. They're going to claw it back. It's really hard to get money back from somebody that's already, when you've already given it to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
This time the IRS just recently came out and said, you know, that we will not claw back any gifts that are made right now at $11.5 million, right? Which is me telling you that they are going to, in 2025, they have every intent of reducing this amount of money back down. So when you're doing your estate planning, you've got to think about today through 225, to the December 31st of 2025, and you darn well better be thinking about what happens starting in 2026. In terms of some of those estate planning. And before Angie asked the question, no, you cannot give your IRA away during life. Now, there is a strategy. There is a strategy. It's not a good one, but it is one that we see happen every now and then. We will come back to that after the break. Keep sending your questions in. If you don't want to hear me talk about IRAs, fine, Ken, fine. 800-928-4001. We'll take a break and be right back. Maybe it's just that I only know about IRAs. It could be that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Consider This Program. I'm your host, Joe Clark.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
We're happy to have you. Angie's voice is the one that you would hear if you ever called the Financial Enhancement Group at 800-928-4001, either to ask a question or to set up a meeting time. She is the boss in charge of that. And I will give you the trick. There is one way that I can give you IRA money during life. Angie, any ideas?
Nope.
Nope, don't look at me.
Radio silence. It's a beautiful thing. The only person who can give money from an IRA to another human is by court order, and it is when you go through a divorce, right? So this and this is key just to remember. So don't confuse yourself. Attorneys are going to call these forms quadros. Some of the insurance companies call the form a quadro. For the record, an IRA is not a Department of Labor program. So a quadro stands for Qualified Domestics Relation Order, right? And it's just called a quadro. IRAs do not transfer with quadros, but attorneys think they do, and so you'll hear them say that all the time. Same functionality. So back in Obama's first term, I believe, he put out to Congress that IRAs and 401ks both, which again are two entirely different things, regulated by two entirely different groups. But he said he tried to throw out stuff saying your 401k could never be more than $2 million. And that if it reached a cap, you would no longer allowed to be able to put the money in. And that didn't pass, didn't happen, so don't panic. But the solution was, I was going to fly to Vegas. Now, I don't have $2 million in my 401k, but if I did, I was going to fly to Vegas, have a quickie divorce, have a judge order half of my money into Barb's account, get remarried, and fly home. And, you know, you got to be creative with some of this stuff, but that was the only answer I could find to fixing that one. So no, you can't give it during life. You have to give it during death. You can give to charities during life, but you have to be over 70 and a half and through a process called a QCD or a qualified charitable distribution. Angie, you're up.
I had a question that asks, can an IRA have an annual taxable income? We think about it being deferred, and we mm-hmm. think about paying it at the very end, but this question is, can you be taxed on it annually for any reason?
And not for any reason. Not for any. Oh, well.
No.
Yes.
I mean.
And the answer is yes.
Yes.
And the penalties can be excessive. So every now and then, people will call and say, can I take IRA and put it into a rental property? And the answer is you can, right? But there are very, very crazy rules that go with it. So the word IRA, by the way, stands for Individual Retirement Agreement, not account. It's important for this exercise. Individual Retirement Agreement. So how many IRAs can I have, Angie?
As many as you want.
As many as you want. So rule number one, if you're ever going to do something stupid or that could be deemed stupid, put it in its own IRA. Right. So if you're going to go buy property, or if you're going to go invest in a master limited partnership, which is where people get into trouble with some of these things, if you're going to do that, do it in its own little IRA, so the whole thing is not subject to being tossed out. It's not going to reduce the taxes, but if you make any mistakes, you can get into trouble. So one of the things that in an IRA, you cannot have debt. You cannot use leverage. Right. And there are investment products out there that so people have got your $5 million trust account, and the broker then picks up a $200,000 or $300,000 IRA that you've got on the side, and you're going, hey, dude, I like this thing in my $5 million account. I want you to buy it over there too. And the broker, because he doesn't necessarily know taxes, goes ahead and buys it. And then all of a sudden, you know, an audit's done, and a few years later, here comes this nasty 1099 or K-1, depending on how it's reflected. And you've got this bill, and you go, hey, what gives? And it's, yes, you can have taxable income inside of an IRA, and the penalties are swift. Angie, back to
yes.
you.
Yes. Well, the article that I came across after that question was entitled, Are Taxes Lurking in Your Tax-Free Retirement Account? And it started talking about this UBTI.
Unrelated Business Taxable Income. UBTI happens in when you have an entity that is not-for-profit. So when we talk about a charitable organization, we're talking about a 501c3. And what happens is I've got this non-for-profit thing that I'm trying to accomplish, right? We're taking care of homeless, hungry people, or we're taking care of pets. And all of a sudden, I monkey off into a profitable type of business, right? Mm-hmm. Inside of that not-for-profit. So you and I experienced this. I go to Northview, which is the church down in Indianapolis, but Anderson's got a base here. Years and years ago, our base church here in Anderson was a church called The Bridge that Angie helped build and develop. And that's where we get to know each other a long, long time ago. We got into trouble with unrelated business taxable income because you built a child care center. And you never knew that it happened because we kind of took care of it and wrote some checks. But we did have to play some games with the IRS because in Indiana, you don't have to have a 501c3 to be a church, but you do to be a child care center. And once you went into that, you went into a position of profitability, mm-hmm. right? That we were using to fund other parts of the church,
right?
Right, which you really shouldn't do. Now, can you have a not-for-profit child care center? And the answer is yes. It's when you have one that's starting to maneuver over into other places that can get into trouble. And I am not the tax expert on that one. That's, you know, we've got people that we use for the not-for-profit world for a good reason. We teach people how to be better givers, how to give to those 501c3 entities. I stay out of the mess of trying to help them figure out how to run the
yeah,
books.
Because I read in some of these instances where a 501c3 would start having a profitable business, then all of a sudden these regular businesses are saying, hey, wait a minute, that's not, you know, fair. So to
give you a perfect example, we are registered investment advisors at the Financial Enhancement Group, right? And we do some pro bono work. So we don't get paid for it, but it's in the financial planning world. Now, Ken, if I decided that we were going to go into the pro bono doing mortgages, mm-hmm. would that really be fair to you?
No.
And it wouldn't be fair because you've got to make a profit.
Correct.
Right? We make a profit by being registered investment advisors, you know, but it would be very easy for us to add some of that other pro bono stuff that's inside there that would have a not be a fair competition, right? And that is really why some of the people argue in the tax code, some of the taxes, especially penalties, exist, right? If I press my luck, right, and get away with it all of the time, okay. But if you ever go broke in a business, they will let you write off some of the tax debt, they will not let you write off the tax penalty, you know, unless you're in absolute stress and duress. And that's because they think it's unfair competitive. You know, if I do something and I'm able to write off $250,000 loan, and yet Angie's business has to pay all the $250,000 back, that's not fair, right? And that's the argument that they would use on the penalties and the things like that. Bottom line in IRAs, just stick to your P's and Q's, right? Ask very, very careful questions anytime something is added to it. We have many things that we own inside of trust accounts and retail accounts that we do not own inside of IRA accounts, and vice versa, by the way, and for very good reason. Hey, you're listening to Consider This Program. I'm Joe Clark, along with Ken Dilger, Angie Kinzer. You got a question, you can give us a call at 800-928-4001. Give us an email, considerthis@yourlifeafterwork.com. Don't forget to send in your questions. We're more than happy to answer them. We'll take a break and be right back. Welcome back to Consider This Program. I'm Joe Clark, your host.
I'm Ken Dilger.
And I'm Angie Kinzer.
And so they all play important parts on the show. Ken apparently doesn't bring his own questions. He just wants to complain about the menu.
Somebody's got to complain, right?
Somebody's got to. So Angie's the one that you talk to if you call the firm at 800-928-4001. She helps us with the show to come up with the questions that you guys have sent in, and gals. We'll probably get more questions from females than males, actually. And Ken's job is to make sure that I'm using words that make sense in the English language as opposed to the financial language. So Angie asked me a question at the end of the last conversation, and if you missed that and you want it, you can go to Consider This Program anywhere you listen to podcasts, download the podcast, and you get the radio show every week. If you subscribe, as well as podcasts, we interview different authors, speakers, where we can't have them on the show for too long, but we do put the whole podcast up so that you can get it as well. So there's a couple new ones that are up there. All right, so in service, what do you suppose that means, Ken?
While you're working,
while you're part of a company. So one of the opportunities that you have in most 401ks and not most 403bs, so if you're in the not-for-profit sector, you typically can't do this. If you're in the for-profit sector, you typically can. It's called an in-service, non-hardship. So we just talked about hardships last time. Non-hardship distribution. And it allows me to continue to put money into my plan, so I can keep putting money into the 401k, but take money out of the 401k to roll to an IRA, right? Now, should you do this? There's a talk about checklist. You know, we get this whole slew of things that we go through, because it really comes down to the different investment options, right? So your 401k has less options than I do at TD Ameritrade, right? Your 401k many times is cheaper than what somebody who's trying to sell you something is going to offer. They're gonna charge more money, and you know, especially in the mutual fund space and things like that. So you have to ask the question of, why am I moving the money, right? And the answer should be because you're wanting to get professional management, more investment choices, and they may or may not add, like we do, financial planning that covers the difference in the cost. So, you know, for, you know, 10 or 15 basis points in some cases, it makes a sense to move, right? So you have our financial planning and our other stuff. There's other times when we've told people, no, it doesn't make sense. And you just need to know that. So the question is, and you can't miss it, is in-service non-hardship distribution. And that's if you want to pull money out of your 401k before 59 and a half, before 55, to roll to an IRA. So it's not money that you're planning on spending. There is no penalty. There is no tax. You know, so it is a beautiful, beautiful thing when you're in the right situation. Make sense, Ange?
Does.
All right. So we covered a bunch of IRA stuff today. And this is where we really kind of get into the quiz part of the TAM. If you really want to read about IRAs like I do, the part of the Internal Revenue Code that you need to know is Publication 590. That's where you'll find all of your answers. Or you can go to irahelp.com, where you'll find Ed Slott's group, and part of that will direct you here back to the Financial Enhancement Group. We've got a lot of great CPAs that we work with. But we talked about a word that most people aren't familiar with, probably UBTI, unrelated business taxable income. You do not want it in your IRA, but Angie asked the question, can an IRA have annual income that you have to pay taxes on? And the answer is yes. If you put the wrong investments in your IRA, it can happen. The penalties are swift, and just stay away from them. And one of the ones where people get in trouble the most is, you know, Angie, you're a flipper now. You know, she bought her first rental and flipped it inside of, 30 or 40 days? It felt like it was probably longer to you than it was to me. But, you know, then she comes in with this big check and a happy smile. And, you know, she's thinking about retiring, Ken. I mean, cause she's, you know, she's done one of these now. And it was, you know, so she's looking for her neck. Have you found the next one?
I have. Unfortunately, the date of the sale is the same day as our team meeting. So I might have to wait until next quarter.
You might, or send somebody in your...
I'm thinking about that.
Can you send a proxy?
I don't know.
Okay. Anyhow, people will ask in their IRA, can you buy real estate? And the answer is yes. Can you buy real estate and you live in it? And the answer is no. Can you buy real estate and have debt against it? And the answer is no. And any of those things that you do can just create a whole mess of problems, right? So back in the 06 era, when everything like doubled every quarter, we would watch people drain their IRA accounts to go buy houses so that they could flip them. And they looked like they made a lot of money until two things happened. The tax bill came for pulling the money out of the IRA, right? And the value of the property went down. And those are two really, really bad things that happen at one time. When your asset is falling and the payments are increasing, bad things can happen. So we talked about that. Don't mess with your IRAs. The investments that are inside of your IRAs generally should be different than the investments that are outside of your IRAs, right? For instance, especially if you're in a higher tax bracket, you want stocks inside of your trust account or your regular retail account that don't throw off a lot of income. In other words, you don't want a lot of sales that take place. You don't want a lot of dividends that take place. Inside of the IRA, it doesn't matter. And so we have different investment models that we use here at the Financial Enhancement Group. One of those models is designed specifically for IRAs, has a lot more activity in it, right? But it doesn't throw off any taxes because we keep IRA money inside of it. Whereas the other side, the other accounts, we have the words tax-E behind it. Stands for tax efficient, right? So we've got some trust accounts, and, you know, when you've got somebody who's got a lot of money, and doesn't want any capital gains, they accept a little more volatility, right? Because things can move a little bit more up and down, but they don't pay as much in tax. On the other hand, if their tax bracket's not high, that's silly. Don't take the volatility, right? You know, if you're in the 12% tax bracket or below, Ken, do you know what the capital gains rate is if you're in the 12% bracket?
Short-term or long-term?
Long-term.
20%.
Zero.
Zero.
If you're in the 12% bracket, you have no long-term capital gains tax, right? It's a beautiful thing. Which is why we have talked about before, if Angie had money that she was going to give Ava, right, with not worrying about the kiddie tax for a second, let's say I was going to give it to Kaylee because Kaylee's over 25. So if I was going to give Kaylee a check, it would be better for me to give her some of my Apple stock, right, because she's in the 12% bracket or lower. She sells the Apple stock. She pays no capital gains tax, right? And her basis is my basis if you give that stuff during life. So, you know, all this comes into a strategy. I know you think IRAs are boring, Ken. I get it. But it all bundles in together how you have to think about this stuff. And it is more complex than what people really think. So in our process, when you come in for your next steps meeting, that's what we call it, here's what I guarantee you you'll leave with. Ideas that you need to think about today, ideas that you may have to consider in your future, and if we end up working together, you'll have a battle plan that says, here's what's going to happen, what we're going to do, what you do. It's a next step meeting. It's free. Give Angie a call, 800-928-4001. Have a great week, my friends. Thanks for tuning in.